everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, the heater had to come on last night. I'm telling you, it was a cold, chilly. I think we go beyond chilly, cold.
Well, I'm still trying to be frugal. I'm using a space heater just
really?
For the area where my couch is in front of the television.
What'd you do, put about three blankets on the bed?
Well, I'm wearing like a track suit kind of an outfit. It's got my arms and legs
right.
covered.
You're going to hold off, because if you can make it through one more night here, then we're going to really warm up.
We'll have a nice warm weekend ahead.
Mid-80s, and that should be really nice for a couple of days anyway. Hello, everybody. It is Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, Thursday, November 7th, 2024. Boy, this has seemed like a long week. Because of course, Election Day and all that. We're one of the five radio stations under the Bustos Media banner here under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Also the place for all the podcasts that we've done over the years, and we'll actually begin our 15th year with our radio show in January. So that's, 15 with radio, then 22 years before that over at Channel 6. So as they say, Steve Christie, I didn't get off the bus yesterday.
You didn't fall out of the coconut tree?
Yeah. The Buckmaster Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Once a month, we bring on the program the District 4 Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, who is in the political fight of his life to win a third four-year term on the Pima County Board of Supervisors, where he's currently the lone Republican. Not only currently, but has been for quite a while, the lone Republican on the five-member board. So it has felt like a long week. First of all, good to see you.
Good to see you, and thanks for having me. And, yeah, it has been a long week, and I have to agree with you that it just seems to go on and on and on. But I think we're coming to a relatively short close.
Well, your opponent, the Democrat Vanessa Bechtel, did jump off to a several thousand vote lead on election night. But wow, there still are a lot of ballots to be counted. What's the latest? What are you hearing?
Well, we had roughly a 3,000 vote upswing to our side overnight. So our position at this point is the trend is our friend. And as of this morning, there's about 175,000 early and provisional ballots left to count.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And the Elections Department is tabulating ballots as they are received from the recorder's office. And voters, of course, if they've been notified of a problem with their ballot, they have until Sunday to resolve them. We don't know what's going to happen on Veterans Day because in 2022, the recorder's office was closed on Veterans Day. We haven't been told, so guess the old Yogi Berra quote, it ain't over till it's over. But we're excited about the trend.
So you're leading by like 1,200 votes or something?
Closer to 2,000.
Oh, it's 2,000.
1,800 roughly.
Oh, okay. So you're trending in your positive.
Exactly.
But we don't know how many of those tons of ballots are from your particular district.
No, we don't.
I mean, we don't know because it could be from Green Valley, they could be from Vail, they could be from Mount Lemon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a big district.
Historically, as has been well discussed, is that Republican voters traditionally have a very strong showing on Election Day. And we did quite well before Election Day with early voting as far as the Republicans were concerned in my district. My opponent only, as the Democrat, led by a couple thousand votes on early balloting. And then as we moved closer to Election Day tabulations, that's when we started to make our comeback to a 3,000 vote swing to our favor. So we're expecting, as it has gone historically, that the Republican votes will come in very strong as the tabulations get towards the end, which means that they are going to be tabulating the the election day and the drop-offs on election day. So I think that, as I said, the trend is our friend.
Yeah, and Veterans Day is a federal holiday, mm-hmm. and county holiday, yeah. Right? So we don't know if...
We don't know what she's going to do at this particular point. It would seem to me in the middle of a major election period that all hands on deck would be the case there, and we'll see how she handles the holiday.
And one of the things when you were campaigning and when you had face-offs with Vanessa Bechtel, you talked about if it was a total 5-0 Dem board, what that would mean.
Yeah, and if the trend continues as the way we feel that it will, it looks like the Democrats will have to wait another 4 years to enact a countywide first-time-after sales tax in Pima County. They're very anxious to enact a sales tax countywide. It's never been done before.
Get you out of the way.
And the only way that can happen is if I'm not reelected, because I'm the only one standing in their way from them doing that. So they've got a lot invested in this campaign, and I have to give my opponent certain credit, because this was an all-hands-on-deck effort by the Pima County Democratic Party. They brought out some iconic figures, well-respected, well-known in the Democratic Party, former Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, Ron Barber, Betsy Bolding, all highly knowledgeable, respected, and experienced behind her. They had a very organized and disciplined campaign, and it was obviously an all-hands-on-deck experience for the Democrats in Pima County, because they see the opportunity to enact this sales tax, which can be that dedicated funding source that they can fund all of their pet projects, everything from public subsidized housing to Green New Deal issues to pre-nursery school education and on and on and on. And the only way they can adequately fund that is to get that sales tax enacted, and I'm the only one in their way. And that's why perhaps it's been as close as it has. I haven't seen the Democrats this activated in my district ever, and I think it's been since 1954 or something that the Republicans had a majority. So this means a lot as far as the Democrats. They've got a lot at stake here, and right now the trend is my friend.
The one thing we haven't said is when the next announcement will come from vote counting.
Yeah, historically and theoretically, they have what they call dumps. At the end of the end, I should rephrase that.
Yeah.
That's probably, yeah. Unless we're talking the new water system,
yes.
Or the toilet to tap.
But a vote count dump is coming.
Sometime around 5 o'clock this afternoon, allegedly.
Well, we'll see how that goes. What are you hearing about? Did Mount Lemmon, in your district, get any snow?
Yeah, they got
I saw a little bit on the mountain,
yeah,
from here.
They got a very nice dusting, and there was quite a bit of snowfall up
at Ski Valley. Which is early in the year.
Yeah, relatively early. And on top of that, they've got a beautiful change of the foliage. The leaves are turning. It's beautiful up there, and we encourage everybody to go up and enjoy the change of the seasons and the change of the colors of the leaves. And maybe there's more snow in the forecast, but there was quite a good dusting up there. So it's the winter season, and if you want to experience it, something that you can't really experience down here in the valley is to go up to Mount Lemmon. Remember to get one of our garbage bags, District 4, to take out the garbage as you leave. Don't leave your garbage there, and be mindful of your parking, but certainly enjoy what is a great asset we have here in Pima County, and that's the Summer Haven business community and the village up there, as well as the Mount Lemmon areas in the Catalina.
All right, we're coming up on the Mona's Danish Bakery spot, but let me address this one. We can probably go a little shorter on this one, then we'll save RTA for after the break. Supervisor Hines, one of your colleagues on the board, has called for a censure and investigation of Sheriff Nanos for election interference, and that's actually... The censure is going to be discussed. Your next meeting isn't in, well, it's next week, November 12th.
Yeah, it was interesting the way that the meeting.
Of course, looks like the sheriff is going to be reelected.
But so, I think that's a side issue. I think the politics and the election don't really matter in this case. I think there are much deeper and broader issues that need to be discussed and analyzed. And I support Supervisor Hines' effort to bring those to the forefront and address them. And I think they need to be, if nothing else, to prevent the type of heavy-handed opportunities that any sheriff could utilize for an election system. And it really, there's been instances of this before in the past, and I don't think it's ever been brought before the public in such a manner. And I am looking forward to a robust discussion of this, and I'm hoping the sheriff will attend, so at least we can get his situation on this expressed. But certainly, whatever the election has is inconsequential to the issue at hand of what transpired during the election and what was perpetrated by the sheriff
and
on,
just to
on
clarify,
his opponent.
For our listeners who haven't been following it really closely, the censure for the sheriff for violating First Amendment rights of Sergeant Aaron Cross, the president of the Pima County Deputies Organization, the union, which had taken a vote of no confidence in Sheriff Nana. Sheriff Nanos, and then there was also putting his opponent, Lieutenant Lappin, on administrative leave and prohibiting her from speaking in public about the alleged reasons for her leave.
And so, we still haven't had the opportunity to even discuss or address with the sheriff the incident of the alleged rape case that's been going on forever, and he's flat refused to address the board or come in public to discuss it. So there's a treasure trove of information that needs to be addressed, and I'm behind Supervisor Hines on this effort.
All right, let's take a pause right here and talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. They are getting ready, Steve Christie, for Thanksgiving, and they're taking orders now for pies. If you were going to weigh in on that, what are you going to go with?
It'd be a toss-up between pecan and lemon meringue.
Ooh.
So why not have both, huh?
Yeah. Lemon meringue, that sounds good. Kind of the tartness of the lemon meringue to offset kind of the turkey taste or whatever. Anyway, and of course, Tom on the other side of the glass voting for chocolate cream pie would be his favorite. He also said, though, as a backup would be pecan. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. Put in your order for Thanksgiving, which is 3 weeks from today. Hard to believe. Also, I'll be putting in an order for some dinner rolls for the table at the Buckmaster Bungalow, where I will be doing Thanksgiving, and I will do the cooking this year for the first time ever. Well, who knows how that's going to turn out? Luckily, there'll only be, it looks like, a half dozen folks, but we'll see. Anyway, take a break. More with Steve Christie right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
On average, the Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember,
to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Green Things and Zocalo Village Studio sponsoring our studio setting. And they're a great sponsor, 3384 East River Road. And, you know, for your Thanksgiving, we talk about Mona's and pies and dinner rolls. How about a poinsettia or two for to brighten up when folks come over for Thanksgiving? I'm just shocked at Green Things having 20,000 that they grew this year. That's a record. They've got to have more poinsettias grown at Green Things than anywhere, certainly in Arizona, probably the Southwest. Who knows? One of the big growers in the United States. All on their 13 acres. It's a grower's paradise. Green Things, family owned and operated since 1970. Green Things AZ, their AZ.com, and then their sister business, ZocaloVillage.com. Beautiful holiday things from Mexico at Zocalo Village. Those tin Christmas trees that you light up from the inside. Kind of hard to describe on the radio, but they've got a lot of interesting things for the, ornaments for the trees and a lot of interesting things at Zocalo Village. When we do our live line for our telephone interviews, 790-2040, that's presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Steve Christie visits with us. He's the lone Republican on the five-member Pima County Board of Supervisors, and he visits with us once a month in studio. And we're talking about your opponent, Democrat Vanessa Bechtel, jumped out to an early lead. Then you now have almost a 2,000 vote lead, and we'll know more at about 5 o'clock. You were very impressed. You mentioned the Dems threw everything at you, but you were impressed with the civility of this.
Well, yeah, and as I say, they have a lot at stake with my removal from the Board of Supervisors as far as taxing taxpayers' money and wallets and things of that nature. And they threw everything they had at me, but I have to make sure it's clearly understood. They did so in a very respectful, professional, and civil way. And that's, I think, how we conducted our campaign throughout the event. I do appreciate the fact that we stuck to the issues. There was no ad hominem attacks.
Which are kind of rare these days.
Yeah, and I think was a very healthy exchange of ideas and a clear-cut difference, but it was all done in a very respectful and civil manner. And for whatever it's worth to my opponent, I do want to extend my appreciation for keeping it at that level, and I hope I conducted myself and my campaign in the same manner.
And before we talk a little bit about RTA next, what if people see smoke, and there are chances they will see smoke up in your district coming from Mount Lemmon?
Well,
what's going on?
There is going to be a prescribed burn up there in the next few days, which is good. It's going to clear out all the growth that could be feeding for fuel for
next
potential
spring, yeah.
potential wildfires and worse than that. So they're going to be clearing all that up, gathering it up, and burning it. But we just want to make sure that the community knows when you see, if you see smoke up there, realize that in the next few days it will be a purposeful, prescribed burn to get rid of that undergrowth and clean things up.
The RTA Next plan, 20-year regional plan, the public hearings have now begun. They're open houses, they're called. The first was last night in Marana. There's one tonight, actually, I believe, in your district.
Yeah, we...
At the Joyner Green Valley Library.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a series of them throughout my district. And just coincidentally, yesterday afternoon, we were in a Zoom meeting collaborating with the Vail community leaders. Several organizations on the definition of RTA Next and the projects that they feel are necessary to meet the growing region's transportation needs. You know, my district is the fastest growing population-wise in Pima County, yet the infrastructure and the road improvements and the road transportation necessities have not been keeping up with that population. So we had a very robust discussion with the Vail School District and the Fire District, and took into consideration all the issues that those entities, as well as the community, the neighborhoods, and the businesses are dealing with, as far as lack of positive infrastructure that can alleviate this rapid, unprecedented growth. So we've been working with them, and now we're trying to make sure that it gets before the RTA for consideration.
And I should mention, the meeting is this afternoon. It's not a nighttime meeting over there in Green Valley. Sign-in is 2:30 to 3, and then 3 to 4:30 will be the program, the open house, and people will be able to kind of get a feel for it and ask questions. You have said for years that you've had doubts about the city and how they're going to handle this.
I have.
And whether they're on board
or
not.
I've made it clear, and I think we still have time to see them pull out over some either fabricated or constructed issue that they could use to justify them not being collaborative and working with the regional organization. They are, I think, taking a wrong-minded approach to this, and that it's going to be a not only a detriment of their actions, not only a detriment to the region in general, but to the city of Tucson in particular, because what's good for the region is good for the city of Tucson, and what's good for the city of Tucson is going to help the region, and there has to be that dynamic without the rancor and the animosity and, quite frankly, the selfishness. And one of your guests I heard recently was making some objections over the leadership. And then
I think that was yesterday with Vice Mayor Kevin Dahl.
If the leadership remains in place, that this individual is not on board. Well, I think there's something bigger than the leadership. There's something bigger to the animosity that anyone might have between the parties involved. It's the growth and the development of infrastructure in the region. And I've always said that we really need to be planning, and I've been going back to 2022, that RTA needs to look at a plan, to develop a plan, to create a plan, which they can do. They have the brains, they have the experience, they have the knowledge that would not include the city of Tucson in an RTA plan, because I'm quite convinced that as things progress closer to that November 25th, 2025 date, the city of Tucson is not going to be on board.
And as I pointed out with Kevin yesterday, and if you heard the show, the city did get the light rail right off the bat out of the 20
year. They sure did.
And that's kind of one of the reasons why the Grant Road and this other major project were pushed down
exactly
in the timetable.
They insisted on that light rail right off the bat. Got a funny story on that. That might be good for another show, but So that thing was not cheap, obviously, and even with the Tiger grant,
yeah,
it was still a phenomenal amount of money. Was it a great thing? Obviously, it's done a lot for downtown, and has been a positive aspect. So that's, but now that's all kind of worn off. There's no toll or fare to get on the streetcar. It's kind of a drinking cruise wagon for the university students.
Jump on board.
Which is fine and dandy. Yeah. I'd rather have them on there. But
right there.
Nonetheless, the glitter has kind of come off as far as that new toy that they were so adamant about getting in line first. And now the hangover's coming with the real infrastructure that needs work that they asked to be pushed to the back. And when that happens, that lengthens the time and makes it very vulnerable to all kinds of issues with the economy, with politics, and with neighborhoods. And kind of like the city of Tucson's chickens are coming home to roost.
All right. You'll be waiting for that. The vote's coming in at about 6 o'clock. We'll learn more. Were there two announcements yesterday? I thought there was one at 10 a.m. and 6, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Didn't hear one at 6. We heard, I can't quite remember. There was just one yesterday, in that time frame. But
okay, we'll see what happens. Yep. All right, Steve Christie, thank you very much.
And as long as I'm supervisor, I still can say I love being your supervisor.
And it's actually now that that slogan is on your Pima County Supervisors page.
Yes, it is, and all things
emblazoned
with the trend going the way it is, it'll remain there.
All right, thanks very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Mid show break. Dr. David Levy is coming up next.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We send so many of our listeners to Silver City, and there's a good reason why. It's a delightful getaway over in the land of enchantment, especially enchanting in the autumn. They've got some, take your wrap when you go over there, the Goose Down. Be a great weekend to do some hiking in the 60s and then kind of chilly overnights, but a great getaway. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson, hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Just a great place to do a bunch of outdoor activities. You can start your planning by visiting southwestnewmexico.org, then head east to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We're going to head to the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management to Vail, Arizona, and the home of Dr. David Levy and his observatory. Dr. Levy, our contributor on science, former science editor, Parade Magazine, heads up the Sharing the Sky science educational organization, and he is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He's got 23 notches on his comet discovery belt. Dr. Levy, I presume. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you, Bill. And I hope you're well today.
I'm doing pretty well today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, kind of.
And it's one of the interesting things about living in southern Arizona, and that is that we only have two seasons, summer and winter.
That's true.
And it virtually changes overnight.
No,
it was less than a month ago that we had our last 100-degree day.
That's right.
And now it's winter.
So you get May now through pretty much up until November. You have summer post 100-degree, over 100-degree weather. Then we have winter.
Yeah. And it's almost overnight that it changes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. How about your search for comets? How did all that begin?
It started in, I was on my way to our French oral examination because I was brought up in the province of Quebec in Canada, where they won't let you graduate high school without a knowledge of French.
Yeah.
And which I thought was good. And I knew that they were going to ask me in French, what do you want to do as a career? And I had no idea. And suddenly I was thinking about this wonderful comet, which was actually a little brighter than the one we just had, comet Akiya Seki, discovered by two Japanese amateur astronomers. And I suddenly got the idea that I wanted to do what they were doing. Not to discover comets, because that's hard, but I wanted to look for comets, just look for them, because that's easy. And I got to the school, and the instructor, his name was Mr. Hutchison, asked me, what do you want to do as a career? I was so proud, and I sat up, and I said, Monsieur Hutchison, je veux découvrir une comète. And the man just stared at me, took off his glasses, and said, how the hell do you expect to make any money doing something like that? And with the laughter was just all over the building almost. He just roared with laughter. And he said, okay, I'm going to give you credit for your answer, if only because of all the years I've done this, it's the strangest answer I've ever received. But you better find a comet for me within the next 20 years. Otherwise, I'm going to come back and I'm going to lower your grade. I got it. I got it, my first comet discovery, 19 years later.
Wow. How was this recent comet for kind of visibility and intensity?
Oh, it was a beautiful one. In fact, I've been following it.
Yep. David, where are you? Did we lose you? I hope not. I don't. David, we lost you
in the night that I've really been enjoying.
David, for some
comets are like cats.
Yeah,
they all have tails and they each do precisely what they want.
David, we lost you for about 15 seconds. There was dead air. If you would summarize again your comment, please.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. The part about the compensation, Sean Atlas.
No, you said that this was a very this was a good comet to look at.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was just this lovely comet. It was not as bright as the one I saw in the 1960s, but it was lovely.
All right.
It was just beautiful to see.
Beautiful to see. Are we into the Taurid meteor showers?
Yes, we are. We just had them about two nights ago. I didn't see any meteors this year, but I did go out and I watched. And the Taurid meteors come from another comet called Encke. It appears every 3 years. It's been a while since I've seen it, but it's another beautiful comet. And it goes on this little orbital path where it goes out to Jupiter and then comes back in again and is visible very, very easily. And this is the major type comet of something we call the Jupiter family comets. And one of the 23 comets that I've discovered, Shoemaker-Levy 2, is also a Jupiter family comet. Comes by every 5 years.
Oh, comes from a good family. That's
I hope so.
All right, time for the Dr. David Levy quote of the month on the Buckmaster Show. What do you have for us this month, David?
When I was graduating from Acadia University, where I got my undergraduate degree, I was going through a little bit of a depression, and my younger brother gave me a poster that had this quotation from one of my favorite books, Henry David Thoreau's Walden. And it was very simple. And he said, "If a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away."
Oh, I like that. Very nice. Very appropriate.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. We'll look forward to you into the month of December, my birthday month coming up. Hard to believe, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah. How old are you going to be, Bill?
We'll just say I didn't get off the bus yesterday. All right. David, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you so much, and see you next month.
Okay, thanks. Dr. David Levy with us on the Buckmaster Show. And Attorney Don Luce, the consular, is in the house, and we'll be talking about some of these, the legal implications on some of these propositions and measures that actually did pass. Let's see, I think six or seven of the 13 actually did pass. But that's coming up with Don Luce right after we take this break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
In 2006, Pima County voters approved the Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year Regional Transportation Plan and half-cent sales tax. They are both effective through June 30th, 2026. For the region to receive continued funding for another 20 years, the RTA is developing a new plan and tax extension for voter consideration. Public input will be key. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Don Luce of Luce Law with us with offices in Phoenix and Tucson. Always a pleasure to welcome Mr. Luce to the show. Arizona Laws 101, one of his two very popular books in its second printing, and another his other books in its second printing, too, about estate planning in Arizona, something we all need to not only consider. After you consider it, then you need to act on it. Don, great to see you.
Great to see you, Bill.
All right. Kind of feels like a long week anytime it's election week. Maybe it's because many of us stayed up really late on Tuesday night. But how'd we do overall with, we had 13 measures on the ballot. It was very confusing to a lot of voters. In the end, how did it all turn out?
Well, before I get into that, let me just say that this process, this election cycle, has been exhausting. And the fact that
it has
many of the races are so close that they haven't yet been called, and the fact that in various places around the country, the ballots won't actually be fully tallied for several more days. Mm. We know a lot, but there are some things we also don't know. What we know in Arizona, however, is that 5 of the 13 propositions, which were on the ballot statewide, are likely going to become law. 8 of the propositions are likely to fail. So you can do the math on that. Fewer than 50% passed, which historically is abnormal, because historically about 54% of ballot proposals pass and about 46 get defeated. And that's going back to 1985. Mm. So we have a kind of a large historical perspective to compare the current proposals to proposals that have appeared on past ballots. Mm. In that period, 1985 through the last election, not the 2024, but the 2022, there were 178 ballot proposals that Arizona voters were faced with decisions to make on. And of those, 96 were passed, or 54% roughly, and 82 were defeated, or 46% roughly. And as you just mentioned, in this election, only 5 of the 13 were passed. Hmm. But the 5 that were passed, I think were 5 of the ones that were kind of most predictable. And of the ballots that were on the 2024 ballot, most of those were referred by the legislature. And so there are two ways that a proposal gets on the ballot. One is through a legislative referral, where the Arizona legislature, for whatever reason, refers it to the citizens to make the determination. And if more than half of the voters vote in favor of the ballot proposal, it becomes law. In this case, the legislature referred 11 of the 13, almost 90%.
Mm-hmm.
And the citizens of Arizona put two measures on the ballot, one of which passed, which was the right to abortion.
Right.
And one of which didn't pass, which had to do with changing the way that we conduct our primary elections.
That was that open primary. There were actually two measures on the ballot on that, 140 and 133. Both were defeated.
Right. 140 was the citizen proposal. Mm-hmm. That was defeated. Mm-hmm. 133 was the legislative referral. That was defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of the proposals, some had to do with changing state statutes, mm-hmm. and some had to do with amending the Constitution. The right to abortion proposal, which was a citizen initiative, Prop 139, changed the Constitution, or will change the Constitution, and make abortion in Arizona a constitutional right. It's kind of interesting because if you think back a couple of years when Dobbs came out, which overturned Roe versus Wade,
yeah.
a decision of the United States Supreme Court that had been the law of the land for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
The court said, and maybe with a crystal ball, that this is going to be decided on a state-by-state basis.
Mm-hmm.
And look what's happening. Every state, well, not every state, but many
Most.
States this election cycle voted on abortion.
Mm-hmm.
In a couple of cases, the proposals were not passed.
Florida, for one.
Yeah. There was another state also.
I think there were 10 that dealt with abortion on this election cycle.
Arizona being one of them.
Yeah.
In a couple of cases, the voters rejected the ballot initiative, and in the vast majority of cases, the voters accepted the ballot initiative, and in Arizona, it was... or it's going to be, I believe, overwhelmingly approved, kind of a landslide, at least with regard to that one proposal.
Mm-hmm.
So we have five proposals that are likely to become law. We might as well start with
Please.
139, which mm-hmm. we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. But under this, right to abortion becomes a fundamental constitutional right in Arizona.
It becomes enshrined in the Constitution.
Absolutely. Okay. And I think it's important to point out that even though currently, without 139 being in play, Arizona residents have the right to abortion up to 15 weeks, but that's statutory. And what that means is it was created by the legislature. And what's created by the legislature can be changed by the legislature. And your listeners will know that there was a very old pre-Civil War law that basically made abortion illegal in most, if not every, case. The Arizona Supreme Court refused to find that law ineffective, but the new law, which was passed one or two years ago, I forget the amount of time, made it legal to have an abortion up to 15 weeks. Prop 139, which will now become the law of the state of Arizona, isn't a statute. It cannot be changed by the legislature. It is a constitutional amendment, meaning that, as you said, that right is now enshrined in Arizona's constitution. Looking at it nationally, many of our sister states are doing the same thing. It's a process that's fascinating to watch, and it's exactly as the U.S. Supreme Court predicted when it issued the Dobbs decision.
Mm-hmm.
This is a matter of states' rights.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in Arizona, Prop 139 is going to become a constitutional amendment, and it's not going to be subject to change by the legislature.
Mm-hmm. And two of the Supreme Court justices were on the ballot for retention, going back to that 1864 law and their decision on that, they are going to be retained on the
They were retained. Yes. And that leads to another proposition that was defeated. Mm-hmm. The other proposition having to do with this in some tangential way was to essentially allow certain judges in Arizona to have what essentially would be kind of a lifetime appointment. Currently, the judges in Arizona have to stand for retention. In other words, voters get to say yes or no. The judge who is on the ballot has served in office for a period of time, and the voters are asked a simple question, yes or no. Right. To retain this judge. Now, in the vast majority of cases, well over 90%, the judges are retained. Mm-hmm. But occasionally, the voters will be unhappy with the performance of a particular judicial officer and vote to not retain them. Mm-hmm. And so if a majority of voters vote not to retain, then the judge doesn't continue in office and a replacement judge is appointed. So that's our current system. The proposal that was defeated would have changed that and essentially would have made the appointment subject to only certain things like a convicted for a felony or a bankruptcy or, you know, some other event that would have essentially triggered a retention election for that judge. That's not going to be the case. In Arizona, our current system will remain in effect.
So the border initiative, that passed easily as well.
Yeah, and that was, in my estimation, that was one of the proposals that had a lot of popular support.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say the border initiative, it wasn't just having to do with the border. It had to do with persons who are in Arizona illegally, and it had to do with the sale of fentanyl specifically, creating a new category of crime. So under this proposal, which was 314, and it was referred to the people by the legislature, one of the 11 legislative referrals, it makes it a crime for persons not lawfully present in the United States to submit false information in applications for public benefits and employment and to enter Arizona outside ports of entry or refuse to comply with orders to return. It criminalizes selling fentanyl that causes the death of a person. Now, that particular proposal was challenged in court before the election.
In Texas, right?
Well,
here.
Okay. The people challenging this proposal, which passed handily, or will pass handily once all the ballots are counted, said it contains too many subjects.
Right.
You know, it talks about people crossing the border at places other than ports of entry. It talks about criminalizing submission of applications when you're here illegally. It talks about selling fentanyl, which causes a death. And under the Constitution, a law can only deal with one subject. And so the people who were challenging this said this can't go on to the ballot because it addresses various subjects, more than one subject. And the court rejected that argument. 314 appeared on the ballot, and 314 is probably going to be passed by a margin of 2-1, which is kind of a landslide.
Will there be a legal challenge? We're out of time, but quickly.
Yeah, in Texas, a similar statute that allows local law enforcement to detain immigrants is being challenged. That is going to determine whether our statute, which contains a similar provision, is going to withstand constitutional scrutiny.
Don Luce of Luce Law, offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Don, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Bill.
All right. On behalf of Don Luce and Tom on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.